Morning. Is my mic on? You can hear me? Okay. The kids can be dismissed. Most of them are already leaving. Mic's not on? I have it turned on, I know. They'll adjust it up there if they need to. I think we're getting there. I don't know if it's just me, but in this last political season, there it goes, it seems like everything's going crazy. If you remember when President Obama was elected, there was a commentator, I don't know if you've heard of a guy named Rush Limbaugh, but he made a comment after Obama was elected, and he said that he hoped that he failed. Now, he wasn't saying that he hoped the nation failed, but he was hoping that the policies that President Obama wanted to put into place would fail, because he felt they would be bad for the country. Well, now we've turned the tables, and we have President Trump in there, and it seems like everything's gone crazy. Every day, you look at the papers, look at the news, and they're giving him a hard time. They're fighting him tooth and nail. It just seems like everything's going crazy. I got to thinking about it and thinking about the different presidents. And in my lifetime, there have been 12 presidents. I can't think of anyone except maybe in 1968 when President Nixon was elected. There was a bunch of unrest then, too. He was running against Hubert Humphrey, and at the same time, George Wallace was running as an independent. There were all kinds of things that happened in that election. There were riots in the streets. Some students took over campuses. Racial tensions were running high. It just seemed like it was crazy. And I think we're kind of almost coming full circle here, and the world seems to be going crazy again. But this is not new. This is not something that's new. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6. And this is the passage where we find that Daniel was put into the lion's den. Probably a very familiar passage. So we're going to read some sections here. We're going to go through the whole book. And I'm going to just read a section at a time. And then we'll go over that. So starting with Daniel 6, 1 through 5, and I'm reading the New American Standard. If it differs from what's on the screen, then just follow along as best you can. Okay, verse 1, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel is one, that these satraps might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and the satraps began to find ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government affairs, but they could find no ground or accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Daniel, if you know, was taken as a teenager out of Judah, him and his friends. King Nebuchadnezzar had come in from Babylon and attacked Israel. Actually, Judah, and they took several captives. And Daniel and his three friends were some of those captives that were taken. And now, Daniel was just a teenager at this point. And he showed himself to be faithful. I mean, what the king did was he gave them new names. He taught them the customs and the culture of the Babylonians. But one thing that Daniel didn't do, and that was when the king had prescribed that they have a certain food. And some of that food probably went against some of the traditions of the Israelites. And so Daniel took a stand there, and he wouldn't eat that food. And neither would his friends. But that worked out for them because they asked to have a test, if you remember. And there was that test. And at the end of 10 days, Daniel and his friends all looked good. And so, yeah, they were able to eat the food that was honoring to God and not something that might not have been. So Daniel, right off the bat, and his friends showed themselves to be faithful to God. Time went on, and actually, there was Nebuchadnezzar, and then there was Belshazzar, and there's some other kings that were in there short term. And when we come to the story today, in Daniel 6 here, this is about 60 years later. Daniel at this point is about 80 years old. Now, throughout all those different kings that had ruled, Daniel is still one of the administrators, one of the leaders. And that was because he'd honored God in all that he did. King Darius, well, actually, let me go back. At one point, if you remember, Belshazzar was ruling, and he decided to throw a big party. And he brought the vessels that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem in, and they were using them improperly. And so God took the kingdom away from him, and there was the writing on the wall. And then after that, it was the Medes and the Persians who came in and took over. And this was Darius. He was the king at that point. So Daniel has been in charge here under the king through all these different rulers. And here Darius has come in, and he's with the Medes, and he even sees that Daniel has distinguished himself by his honesty, his integrity. He just was a man that there was no fault in. So anyhow, just like there's probably corruption in government today, there was probably some corruption going on here. These satraps and the other commissioners were looking to possibly make government a way of lining their pocket, becoming rich, having power over people. But there was one thing that stood in their way, and that was Daniel. Daniel was an honest man, and he wasn't about to cheat the people or take bribes or anything like that. So they said if we find fault in him, the only way they could find fault in Daniel was if it had something to do with his God. Verse 5 says, these men said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. If we had co-workers or fellow students, neighbors, family, and they were looking to find fault with us, would they have a hard time finding fault with us except in our worship of God? That was Daniel's life. He did distinguish himself. There gives us a clue as to how he distinguished himself. In verse 3, it says, this Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. That extraordinary spirit is the same spirit we have access to in the Holy Spirit. Daniel was such that they could only find fault with him in the fact that he worshipped God. So, the other satraps and the commissioners looked for a way they could find fault with him, and they came up with a plan. We're going to move on to the next section here. Daniel 6, 6 through 9. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. And all the commissioners of the kingdoms, the prefects, the satraps, and high officials, and the governors have consulted together, and the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to God or any man beside you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast in the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed. according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Thus King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Now these guys use a couple tactics here against the king. If you notice, in verse 7, the first word there is, they said all the commissioners of the kingdom. They lied. They left out Daniel. He wasn't involved in this. Had they mentioned that Daniel wasn't in favor of it, surely King Darius wouldn't have agreed. But they lied and they said, all of them. They said, let's do this. And of course, then they also tried flattery. They honored the king as a god. They said that he should enact a statue that would no one would make any petition of any god except him. And so they used a lie and they used flattery. It wasn't uncommon in this culture for kings to be referred to as gods. In fact, earlier in Daniel, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar had actually erected a statue. And he asked people to bow down to that. And throughout this whole culture, that was not uncommon. But this was something they were doing to trap Daniel. Why did they choose prayer? Because Daniel prayed three times a day. And I got to thinking, Daniel, three times a day, would enter his house, go up to the second floor, and look out a window that was directed towards Jerusalem, and he would pray. Now, he had been one of the leaders there for 60-some years. So if Daniel went into his house and prayed three times a day for 60-some years, if you do the math, that comes out to somewhere between 66 and 67,000 times he came before the Lord to pray. I think at that point, Daniel had definitely formed a habit. It was his habit to go in and to pray three times a day. Daniel was a man of discipline. A lot of times we'll plan on doing something, maybe even praying, having devotions, but something gets in our way. You know, maybe there's a TV show or something we watch, or we get cruising on the internet and look at things, or spend time on Facebook or whatever. How many things can get in the way? But Daniel was a man of habit and a man of discipline. And he was committed to praying. And he did that three times a day. We're going to move on. Daniel 6, 10 through 13. It says, now when Daniel knew the document was signed and he entered his house, now in his roof chamber, he had the windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before God. And they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Then he answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but he keeps making his petitions three times a day. So once this injunction was passed, Daniel has a choice to make here. Is he going to obey man, or is he going to obey God? The crisis in Daniel's life here didn't create his discipline, but it just revealed it. What do we do when we face crisis? What is revealed in our lives when we face a crisis? Is it godliness? Verse 10 tells us that he not only prayed, but he gave thanks. Here's a situation where Daniel is, his life is in danger, and he comes to God and he gives thanks. we see that the window that was in Daniel's house was on the second floor. And so probably these government officials had to even come into his house to make sure that he was praying. He couldn't just walk by a window that was on the ground floor and see him and catch him in the act. But he prayed three times a day. When we have the opportunity, would we obey God or would we obey man? I think the way the nation, not only our nation, but even the whole world is heading, we have difficult days approaching us. And I think there are going to be times, even in the church setting, where we have to be concerned about whether or not we're going to obey God or obey man. There have been three occasions not too long ago of three people who were in business. There was a photographer, there was a florist, and there was a baker. All three of those people were asked at separate times to conduct, not to conduct, but to participate in a gay wedding. And they said, no, that's not something we can participate in. And all three of them were taken to court. You've probably heard about this in the news. I think it was the baker. Not only did they lose in court, but they're being fined like $135,000. Both the photographer and the florist also had similar situations. I don't think their situation was quite as severe. But what are we going to do as elders in the church, as pastor, when a gay couple comes through that door and says they want a ceremony here? Are we going to honor God, or we give in to man? What will we do when we're faced with a situation like Daniel was faced with? Daniel got on his knees and prayed to God. He even gave thanks at that point. Let's move on. Daniel 6, verses 14 and 15. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed, and he set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until the sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. These men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Recognize, O king, that this is a law of the Medes and the Persians, and no injunction or statute which a king establishes may be changed." The king was very much taken by Daniel. He felt he was a good person. In fact, he was going to put him over the whole kingdom. And now he was in a situation. He backed himself into a corner. And what is he going to do? He tried and tried everything he could think of, but he couldn't come up with a way that he could break his own law to save Daniel. Okay, we're going to move on. Verses 16 and 18. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signet ring of the nobles, so that nothing could be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace, and he spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought in before him, and his sleep fled from him. Poor king was in a situation here. He was really worried about Daniel. But there's something interesting that he said. He said that your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. That was the reputation that Daniel had, that he constantly served God. Now, like I said, the poor king is at the castle. And he's doing everything he can to think, what can he do? And he's worried. I mean, he went home that night to the palace, didn't even eat supper. Decided not to turn the TV on. Didn't listen to the radio, didn't listen to a stereo, didn't even surf the net. And in fact, he separated himself from President Trump. He didn't even send out a tweet. He was worried. He was worried. So Daniel is now cast into the lion's den. I don't know if any of you ever had opportunity to see a lion up close. I grew up here in Warren County. But I went down to Philadelphia for college, and I ended up staying down in the Philadelphia area for 29 years. And there was a time when our kids were growing up where we actually became members of the Philadelphia Zoo. Basically, just bought a year's subscription, and you could go anytime you wanted to. And there were times we'd go, and my favorite place was always the big cats. I always enjoyed the tigers and the lions. They are so massive. I don't know if you have opportunity to see one of those big cats, but they're something. We'd be there when they had feeding time, and they'd throw some raw meat in there. Didn't take long for it to be gone. Those lions would tear into it. We have a picture of our youngest son, Josh, and it was taken, and there's actually a glass in front of the lion in between Josh, but you can't see the glass in the picture, and it looks like Josh is standing right next to a lion. But they are very impressive. But you know what? Daniel wasn't worried about the lions. I was wondering, who got the better night's sleep that night? Was it the king? Or was it Daniel? Daniel was confident in his God. I imagine he's the one of the two that actually got a good night's sleep that night. It's kind of interesting. I was thinking about the whole book of Daniel. And Daniel had his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And way back in chapter 3 here, they were thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to the statue. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but you're thinking Daniel still had his reputation. I don't know why he wasn't one of them. He may have been out doing some of the king's business or something. I don't know. But likewise, his three friends are not mentioned here. But Daniel at this point is like 80 or 80 plus. One commentator said somewhere between 80 and 90 years of age. So it's possible his three friends had already passed away. So they may not have been there. But it was just a thought. I see things like that and it causes me to wonder what was going on. Do we have times when we worry about what people can do to us? I mean, here they were, they threw Daniel into the lion's den. Do we worry? Maybe on our jobs, do we worry about what our boss can do to us? I had a situation, and I forgot to tell my wife this, so this is going to be news to her too. It's the mind. It doesn't work like it should. You get older and things don't work. But anyhow, we had a situation where I'm working out of the Franklin branch. And, well, it's Franklin now. We just moved from Seneca to Franklin. And when you move, I work for Vantage, which is a home health care agency, or home health care equipment. And when you move, a lot of times the government agencies will come in and check you out just to make sure nothing went wrong in the move. Then the FDA come in. We dispense oxygen, which is a prescribed drug. And so they come in to check us out. And there was one little problem in the paperwork. Nothing major, but it was a little problem in the paperwork. And it had to do with liquid oxygen, which is what I'm doing down there. I drive the liquid tanker every day and deliver liquid oxygen. But some of the paperwork wasn't quite right. And so the manager there told a lie to the agent from the FDA. Called me while I was on the road. He said, listen, he said, if this agent calls you, you've got to tell him this is what's happening. I've never been put in that situation before where I was asked to lie at work. I said, I can't do that. I can't tell a lie. Well, it turned out that agent never called me that day, but she was coming back, it was a female, she was coming back on Friday. The Lord was gracious. I got sick Thursday night and never had to go to work Friday. Never became an issue. But what would you do? If your boss asked you to lie, it was, that was tough. Okay. Let's move on. Daniel 6:19 through 23. Then the king rose at dawn, the break of day, and he went in haste to the lion's den. And when he came to the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions. Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den with no injury whatsoever found in him, because he trusted in his God. It's kind of interesting the effect that Daniel's life had on the king. Again, the king said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God who you constantly serve been able to deliver you from the lions? The king recognized that God was very active in Daniel's life, and that God was very important to Daniel. Daniel says, because I was found innocent before him and before you, because of the way Daniel lived his life, God spared him. We'll finish it off there. 24 through 28. Then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then Darius the king wrote, to all the peoples, nation, and men of every language who are living in my land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. And he delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. One thing that I failed to mention, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, that den has the connotation in the original language of being some sort of a pit. So when Daniel was thrown in, he was thrown down to the lions. That was another issue. He wasn't even injured by being thrown into the pit. Here where the other satraps and leaders were thrown in, it says the lions had overpowered him before they even hit the bottom. Big difference when Daniel was thrown in and when these other leaders were thrown in. It was kind of like when we were witnessing the lions eating there at the zoo. They had a feast right away there. It wasn't that they weren't powerful and strong lions, but they were controlled by a powerful and strong God. Dwight L. Moody is remembered for a quote he repeated. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. Francis of Assisi said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Will we be people of the Word of God, people of God, like Daniel was? The lesson of Daniel in the lion's den is one that's been told many times. But we need to kind of refresh and renew just the commitment that he had. And do we have that kind of commitment in the lives that we live? Do we have that kind of commitment at work or at school, in our neighborhoods, with our families? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Daniel and for all the stories that you give us in your word. We just pray that our lives would be such that we would honor you in what we do. Lord, we would trust you. Lord, I think times are going to get more difficult in this nation. And we pray that we would just have that spirit that Daniel had in him, to honor you and to live for you in all that we do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.